Hey everybody, welcome to the UPT Bound Podcast, Episode 2. This week, we're going to dive into the different paths that can get you to UPT and on your road to wings. So, as many of you know, you may have read on some forums or things like that. There's active duty Air Force, which is what you think of when you think of the Air Force. There are people that talk about the Air National Guard and people that talk about the Air Force Reserves. And they're all a little bit different, but then at the same time, they're all under the Air Force. Anyways, this week, we're going to try and break down the differences between these three and maybe help shine some light on the pros and cons, and help you decide which path might be correct for you, as they're all a little bit different. Not one of them is better than the other, except for the one that you need to choose for yourself and for your family and your life goals. So this week, knowing that this episode was going to come up, I've really been thinking about how to best approach this, and I think what I've come up with is that I'm just going to break down each branch here into pros and cons. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and start. All right, active duty Air Force. Let me start out by saying the major difference between active duty, the reserves, and then the Air National Guard is where the funding comes from. And even we could even have an entire episode over that. However, that has nothing to do with you getting to pilot training. But just for the sake of conversation, active duty Air Force is funded by the federal government. So us in the Air National Guard, we refer to the active duty guys as big Air Force. Like when you see the ads for join the Air Force, into the blue, that kind of thing, that is the United States Air. That is big Air Force. That is the federal government ran Air Force. There are a lot of pros to choosing the active duty route. Number one, and just a disclosure, this is the pros and cons list according to me. So I try to keep it as objective as I could. I probably am not going to be able to keep my opinion to myself very well, but I will try. But yeah, so we'll just kind of dive right in. The active duty pros, one, virtually everything is paid for. So you don't have to worry about housing. You don't have to worry about health care. Those things the government will provide for you, or the Air Force will provide for you. So active duty Air Force, you'll be stationed different places around the world. A lot of times you can live on the Air Force base or near the Air Force base. Regardless of what you choose, the Air Force will give you a extra amount of money in your paycheck that will go towards your housing payment, whether, you know, that rent or whatever it is. They also give you something, and that's called BAH, and they'll give you something else called BAS, and that basically is a monthly stipend that they give you, and it's totally dependent on the number of dependents that live with you, and it's, I kind of explain it to my wife, it's kind of like grocery money. It's there to kind of alleviate some of the costs associated with, like, living expenses. And then the free healthcare, I mean, it's free healthcare. So you don't pay for health insurance. So for a lot of places, health insurance is really expensive. in the civilian world, but active duty military, active duty Air Force, you don't have to worry about that. They don't want you worrying about that. They want you 100% delved into what is going on at big Air Force. So that's my number one pro, is that virtually everything is paid for. On the flying side of things, if you decide to follow the path of going active duty Air Force, the chances of you becoming a pilot in general are much higher, in my opinion, than what I've seen with the Air National Guard or the reserves. So to kind of give an example, the Guard, depending on which unit, everything in the Guard is state funded. So depending on every state is different, each unit is different. And so you might have a unit where they are allotted, and they have to bid as well, and there are only so many positions that are open for pilots at those units. So you may decide you want to fly F-16s, let's say in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but the Air National Guard unit in Tulsa may only be allowed to, and it depends on manning as well, but may only be allowed to hire one or two pilots for the whole year. And so, you know, it's very, very, very competitive. So back to the active duty, you know, if you tell them you want to go and you want to be a pilot, the chances are very high that you're going to be, as far as them having a spot available for you, are much higher than if you decide you want to fly for a specific Air National Guard unit or reserve unit. Now, that changes. So right now, the Air Force has a big pilot shortage, especially on the active duty side. So there's a much higher chance for obtaining a flying slot and getting to pilot training. So that's number two. Number three, active duty pro, is you will definitely travel and see the world and live in different places of the world. So, you know, if that's something that's really intriguing to you, active duty is definitely the way to go. I mean, I don't know what, they call it PCS, and I think it means like permanent change of station, I think is what they call that, and once again, big Air Force. But every 2 to 3 years, you can plan on moving somewhere else. And that is completely dependent on the airframe that you select and the different mission sets that there are. But you can look at the different active duty Air Force bases around the world and kind of get an idea of where you possibly could be stationed. So you will definitely get to travel and live in different places of the world, which is really cool. And it's all on the government's dime. So, yeah, that to me is a big pro. We'll move into some cons, okay? Number one, kind of where we left off, travel and see the world. That is really cool, and it can be really difficult if you have a family. So, I would say, if you have a family, like my family, my wife really was, she was super supportive of me following my dream and wanting to get a UPT slot and go fly for the Air Force, but she was not very keen on possibly having to live in South Korea for a couple of years, or you know, Japan or Guam or places like that. She didn't want to raise a family overseas. And, you know, that's kind of a decision that we made, that we are going to pursue the Air National Guard and the Air Force Reserves. So I would say if you are married, or, you know, you have a family that you're supporting, think about that. Think about, you know, the travel and the time that you're going to have to spend away. It's definitely doable, and people do it all the time. And it is becoming better. With the pilot shortage, they're allowing pilots to have a little bit more say as to where where they're stationed, and they can get extensions or they can try and move quicker. I would say that is a con that you might have to deal with. Number two, not much choice in where you're stationed. That's kind of, no pun intended, up in the air. You know, that changes with the pilot shortage. They want to keep their pilots happy at the same time, but this is the U.S. military, and they will put you where they need you. So they do have a bidding system, and you can kind of put where you want to live, but that doesn't mean that's where they're going to send you. Yeah, a lot of it depends on your rank and depends on your flying experience and where the mission needs you the most. So keep that in mind. Although you might get to see the world, you might not get to do it where you want at the time you want it. So that's a con. Another one, number three, pilot training is very competitive with active duty. So you're going to have a class of people that you're with during pilot training, and you are all competing for the top spots in the class. Whoever scores the highest is going to have their choice of aircraft that they're going to follow on with, or at least that's how I have it understood. And so everybody's very competitive, trying to be the top of the class so that they can have a better chance of getting what they want to fly, whether it be, the top choice. You might want to fly F-16s or something like that. A lot of people want to fly fighters. You know, some people don't. But the other thing is that although you may be the top of your class, it's kind of one of those things, again, where the Air Force is going to send you where they need you. If your class, you get to your, they call it drop night. If big Air Force says, we don't need fighter pilots right now, well, if you want to fly fighters and that's all you want to do, you're kind of out of luck, because big Air Force doesn't need fighter pilots right now. They need heavy pilots or different, mobility kind of stuff going on. So you kind of have a bid, you kind of have a choice over what you fly, but then at the same time, it just depends on the timing. Right now, like I said earlier, right now is really good because there is a pilot shortage in the Air Force, but that is a con you might have. You just need to plan for that you might have to deal with. And the last con here for active duty is, it's a one-track career field. And what I mean by that is that if you want to have a side hustle or pursue something on the civilian side, it is very difficult. You are active duty. You are full-time. That is what you're expected to do. So if you wanted, someday you want to have a career in the airlines as a pilot, you can't work on that and be in the active duty Air Force flying at the same time. The Air National Guard and the Reserves allow you to do that. They allow you to kind of split your time between two career fields, which can be very advantageous in a career field where everything is based on seniority over in the civilian side of things, over the airlines and things like that. But that will wrap up the active duty side. All right, now we're going to move over to my personal favorite. We're going to talk about the pros of choosing a guard or reserve unit. I'm going to throw these two in together as they're pretty much the same as far as how you get to UPT. So we'll just go ahead and we'll just jump right in here. The number one pro of going guard or reserve is you have a job before arriving at UPT. So if you remember, I told you how competitive UPT is for the guys that are going through active duty, because they're all competing for that top position in the class so that they can choose the airplane that they want to fly, or aircraft, shouldn't say airplane, helicopters are there, so that they can choose the aircraft that they want to fly. The pro here is if you get selected to fly A-10s for a specific unit, then you already know, as long as you complete training and as long as you pass all your, you pass training, you're going to fly the A-10. So, I mean, you still have pressure as far as you need to perform and you need to do well, but you already know what assignment you're going to be given as far as aircraft, and you know that you already know where your family is going to be for your career. That brings me to my second pro of going Guard or Reserve. You will spend your career at one location if you choose. So if you want to fly A-10s in Idaho for the Air National Guard, then you more than likely are going to finish your career in Idaho flying the A-10. If you want to, I mean, you can always, you know, you can always decide that you want to move the family somewhere else, and there's programs for that to happen as well. But, also you can be as active duty as you want. A lot of people think that, you know, they just want to be full-time military. That's all they want to do. And that's great. But they don't want to move their family around. This is a great opportunity for that. They have what's called AGR in the Guard. It's called Active Guard Reserve. Or that's what it stands for. And basically, it gives you all the benefits of being active duty without having to pick up and move every 2 to 3 years. So it pretty much eliminates that con of being on the active duty side. Number three, there within the Guard and Reserve units, there's a very close-knit family group of people. They're going to hire you with the anticipation that you're going to complete UPT, and then in a couple years, you're going to come back to that unit, and you're going to pretty much be there for about 20 years, you know, that's where you're, or as long as your, you know, your time is, that you're going to spend it with them. And so you get to know everybody really well. People don't really move, you know, people get there and they kind of just stay there. And, so you get to know people, you really get to build really close friendships and bonds with people. And I'm sure it's the same way with active duty as well. And you'll probably see people across different bases that you've known from other places previously, but the Guard and the Reserves, it's a great place to be, because you also have great support. Like, your family will have great support as you are, you know, deployed or gone. So yeah, we'll move on to the cons of the Guard and Reserves. Number one, probably the most obvious one, is that it is more difficult for rank advancement. So as you start to rank up and as you start to get promoted, there's only so many positions available as you get higher and higher. And this is not just as a pilot, this is also in the enlisted world as well. You know, the higher you get in your rank, the harder it is to move. Well, that's the harder it is to move up. And it's strictly because there's not as many of those positions available in that specific unit. So keep that in mind. Number two, let me go back to number one. Rank advancement means more money. That is how you make more money in the military, is you rank up. So I just wanted to put that in there really quick. So number two on the cons now, it can be very demanding at times, depending on the aircraft or the mission. So let me paint you a scenario. Maybe you are also a airline pilot, and that's kind of your day job. And then in the guard, so the guard, the way it works is you're pretty much there part time. The unit expects you to be there, and they expect you to train, and they expect you to perform. And when they call you up, they expect you to go. However, that is not your day job. Most people, if you're not active AGR, if you're not active guard reserve, then you are what's called a traditional guardsman. And so the big advertisement for the guard is that you basically the weekend a month, 2 weeks out of the summer kind of thing. As a pilot, that's obviously not going to be all you do. You have currency requirements you have to maintain. You have specific mission requirements that you're going to have to maintain that will not allow you to only show up 1 weekend a month. So the scenario let me paint you. Let's say you fly. You're an airline pilot. That's your day job. However, you are a member of a F-16 unit, and you fly F-16s. It's a very demanding mission skill set that you have to keep up on. As you all probably know, F-16s. You know, they do air to air combat as well as air to ground and a whole variety of different things that you have to remain current in order to deploy and to be valuable to the unit. So that can be kind of demanding, as you can imagine. So as an airline pilot, you know, your days off from your airline, you're probably going to have to go into the fighter squadron, and you're going to have to go and hit the books or get your flight time as much as you can to be able to stay proficient in that aircraft. If you get hired at a unit maybe that does not have as broad of a mission skill set, such as the, we'll say, because I got picked up with a KC-135 unit, a KC-135, you still have to show up more than 1 weekend a month, but, you know, you don't, you are not, the amount of things that you have to stay current in are much less than the things you have to stay current in as an F-16. I think I cleared that up. Maybe not. It's clear as mud. Anyways, and then the last con here for the guard reserves is there are not as many benefits. So if you're not on active duty orders, or you're not like one of those AGR kind of guys, then, you know, your housing is not going to be paid for, and your that subsistence allowance is not going to be there, and your health care is not free. It is free anytime you are activated, as you're, you know, you are deployed, but your health care, for the most part, your health care is not free. It is still great health care. I am on, it's called TRICARE, that's what I'm on. It's great, and it's significantly less money than civilian health insurance. So we absolutely love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But that's the pros and cons list of active duty and the guard and the reserves. Guard and reserves are pretty much the same. It's just, once again, the funding. The reserves are funded by the federal government, and the guard is all state-run. So the governor is essentially the person who's your unit kind of responds to, unless activated and on a deployment, then it goes back to the federal government. And that's a whole, try not to confuse anybody, but that's a whole episode in itself. I did want to touch on the reserves a little bit more. There are a couple of other things that the reserves have that the guard does not have, and as well as active duty, they don't have either. One, there's a special program. They call it the It's like unsponsored pilot board. It's a basically it's like going active duty where you are selected to go to pilot training, but you don't have a unit that is sponsoring you like you typically would. And you're paired up with what's called an Air Force Reserve Liaison. And basically what they do is they are out kind of looking for jobs and units for you to go to upon completion of your pilot training. And so about halfway through pilot training, hopefully by then you will have a unit that wants to sponsor you and wants you to come fly with them. And so it's a way to get to pilot training without actually having to go through the competitive board of getting picked up before you go. I will tell you this though, if flying fighters is what you want to do, then I would not suggest doing this, because there are significantly less fighter squadrons in the Air Force Reserves than there are in the Air National Guard and active duty, obviously. So just keep that in mind if you're going to try and do this unsponsored board program, that your chances of becoming a fighter pilot out of this program are significantly less. So yeah, just kind of keep that in mind. And then the second program they have, it's called the Accelerated Path to Wings program. This is really cool. This just came out this last year. If you have gone to a Part 141 school, and which if you are a private pilot or any kind of pilot right now, then you'll know what Part 141 is. It's basically just if you've gone to a structured program, kind of like a university, if you've done your pilot training through a university, and you have your commercial pilot license, or your commercial pilot with instrument rating and multi-engine, you can skip the first phase of pilot training, Air Force pilot training, which is the T6 Texan, and you can go straight into the T1, which is the heavy track for the Air Force Reserves. So, really cool stuff there too. But for more information on those kinds of programs, I would direct you to go ahead, get in contact with an Air Force Reserve recruiter. And they should have information on that and how that exactly works. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up for this week. I am a little biased towards the Guard. I think it is a great way to serve your country, get world-class flight training, and at the same time build your status as a career civilian pilot as well. And I'm very excited that I have a Air National Guard UPT slot. However, there are, as you guys know, there are different paths, and they're all great. They just have some pros and cons that you have to be ready and willing to accept. So, next week, we are going to talk about the AFOQT, which is the Air Force Officers Qualifying Test, and the TBAS testing. And we're going to kind of talk about the different academic things that you need to do in order to set yourself up to give yourself the best opportunity and position to get to UPT pilot training. So, until then, all of you out there who are in the search for a pilot slot, stay dedicated, stay motivated, and keep hitting it hard. We'll talk to you next week.